Good afternoon and welcome everybody on this conference call on which we will discuss our results over the first half of 2017. With me are today CEO René Moos and Hans van der Aar, our CFO. As you know, as usual, this call is being broadcast live on our website, and a recording of the call will be available shortly afterwards. As usual, I would also like to point out that safe harbor applies. We will now start with René, who will discuss the highlights and the business developments, followed by a more detailed look at the financials from Hans. After that, we will open the line for questions. We will finish no later than 3:00 P.M. With that, René, I would like to hand over to you.
Thank you, Richard. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining today's call. Basic-Fit had a strong first half of the year in which we delivered on the accelerated growth plans and maintained our high club margins. We grew our network with 98 clubs year-on-year to 466 clubs, and revenue increased by 26% to 156 million. The number of memberships increased by 22% year-on-year to 1.36 million. The club EBITDA margin remained strong at 43.3% despite the acceleration in club openings. Our key metric, adjusted EBITDA, increased by 23% year-on-year to 45.5 million. The adjusted net earning almost quadrupled compared to last year to 10.3 million. With 47 net club openings in the first half of the year and a well-filled pipeline, we continue to be confident to open around 100 clubs in 2017 and the year after. All in all, a good set of results. We diligently execute our growth strategy and make sure that we continue to achieve a return on invested capital of at least 30%. Next, I would like to talk a bit more on the development of our network. At the end of the period, we had 466 clubs operational, of which 149 in the Netherlands, 163 in Belgium, 8 in Luxembourg, 114 in France, and 32 in Spain. Compared to a year ago, we increased our network by 98 clubs, of which 70 were opened in France. We now have 24% of our clubs in France compared to 12% a year ago. With this growth rate, France will soon become the largest country within the group. In the first six months of the year, we opened 51 clubs and closed four, resulting in a net 47 club openings. Three of the closures were planned. One club we closed temporarily while the landlord is doing necessary construction work on the property. We expect to reopen this club later this year. Through the acquisition of chains, we sometimes acquire individual clubs that we know would not fit well in our network. We plan to close these clubs upon expiration of the lease contracts, either because they're higher cost structure or because the suboptimal location of the club. There are still a couple of clubs that we intend to close when the lease contract ends. As you know, we determine which clubs are mature at the end of the year. A club is considered mature if at that time it has been open for 24 months. We currently have 249 mature clubs. This compares to 252 mature clubs at the start of the year. The three planned closures were mature clubs, hence the reduction to 249 clubs. The past 12 months, club opening have been back-end loaded, both in the second half of last year and the first half of this year. As you know, it takes some time before the club EBITDA turns positive due to initial club losses in the first months. The timing of club opening is therefore relevant for the short-term result and year-on-year comparison. If the club openings had been evenly spread over the past year, the club EBITDA would have been higher. In the second half of the year, we expect that club openings will be more evenly spread over the period. We are executing on our club rollout strategy, with most clubs being open in France. The rationale for our focus on France has not been changed, and it continues to be visible in the membership ramp-up in France, which brings me to the next slide. The membership development has been solid. The total memberships increased by 22% year-on-year to 1.36 million memberships. The growth is mainly the result of opening new clubs and the ramp-up of the members in our immature clubs. The number of memberships of our 249 mature clubs was stable in the first 6 months. The average number of memberships at our mature clubs was 3,307 compared to 3,284 at the end of the year, an increase of 23 members per club on the 249 mature clubs. The membership ramp-up in France continues to outpace that of the group and reaches higher levels as shown in the bottom right graph. The orange line shows that it takes, on average, 2 years for a club to mature and to reach a level of 3,300 members. The blue line shows the development of an average French club. Note that with a relatively young history of basic fit in France, the number of clubs included in the graph is significantly larger in the first part than at the end, which only consists of a dozen of French clubs, the mature ones. Also, with the increased number of French clubs in the mix, especially in the first bit of the graph, we see the lines starting to converge. The Benelux currently is still responsible for more than 72% of our memberships, and this was 83% a year ago. The contribution of France to total memberships increased to 21% from 10% a year ago. I will now hand it over to Hans to discuss the financial results in more detail.
Thank you, René. On slide 7, you see our income statement. In the first half of the year, revenue grew by 26% to 156 million, compared to 124 million in the first half of 2016. The growth is the result of fitness revenue increasing by 26% to 153 million, and other revenue increasing by 34% to 3.3 million. The ramp-up of memberships at our existing clubs and the new club openings were the main drivers for the increase of fitness revenue. The increase of the other revenue was mainly the result of personal trainers being made available in more clubs and higher sales of day passes. When we go to revenue on a country level, we see the strongest growth in France with 181%. In Spain, we grew revenue by 19%. Revenue in both the Netherlands and Belgium increased by 13%, and Luxembourg revenue grew by 11%. The Benelux is responsible for 76% of group revenue, and the growth countries France and Spain for 24%. This was 15% a year ago. Club EBITDA increased by 26% to 67.5 million, representing a club EBITDA margin of 43.3%, the same as in the same period last year. This is a good achievement in light of the accelerated execution of our growth strategy. The higher yield per member contributed to this. The take-up of add-on subscriptions and the increased maturity of our membership base more than compensated for the higher VAT rate in France. In the first half of the year, the average yield per member per month was 19.76, compared to 19.51 in the first half of 2016. Overhead expenses increased by 33% to 21.9 million from 16.5 million in the first half of 2016. This is mainly explained by the increase in overhead in 2016 to further professionalize the organization, to facilitate growth, and by higher local marketing costs. The expansion of international overhead was ongoing throughout 2016, and the costs are only now in for the full half year. The second half of the year will have a relatively easier comparison. Country overhead increased by 3.2 million, of which 1.2 million was explained by higher marketing costs as a result of more local marketing activities in France, as expected. The increase in overhead costs resulted in a reduction of the adjusted EBITDA margin to 29.2% compared to 30% in the same period last year. The adjusted EBITDA increased by 23% to 45.5 million compared to 37.2 million in the first half of 2016. EBITDA of the group was 43.3 million compared to 30.2 million in the first half of 2016, meaning an increase of 43%. This is the result of lower exceptional items, as the first half of last year also included the IPO and refinancing cost. Depreciation was 27.8 million in the period, which is 18% of revenue. This is slightly above the targeted 16 to 70%, which is explained by the timing and accelerated pace of club openings. Linear depreciation starts from the date of a club opening, while revenue is still to come, in line with the ramp-up of members at the new clubs. The finance costs were 3.6 million compared to 32.5 million in 2016. The decrease is the result of the refinancing at the time of the IPO last year. The income tax was 2 million and includes a non-cash tax charge of 700,000 as a result of the reassessment of deferred tax assets and liabilities. In France, the corporate tax rate is being reduced in steps from the current 33.3% to 28%. Although this is good news, as we will be paying less taxes in France in the future, it reduced the value of the deferred tax position on the balance sheet and resulted in a non-cash tax charge. Furthermore, non-tax deductible expenses of 300,000 also impacted the effective tax rate, and as a result, the effective tax rate in the first half year was 47%. Net profit was 2.2 million. Compared to a net loss of 26.1 million in the first half of 2016. 2016 was, of course, an unusual year with a listing on Euronext Amsterdam and a refinancing. By adjusting the net result for the amortization, exceptional items, one-off cost, the interest on shareholder loans, and the related tax effects, the net earnings were 10.3 million compared to 2.7 million in the first half of 2016. Then on the next slide. In addition to the club rollout, we aim to increase revenue by selling add-on services to our members, which have a positive impact on the yield per member. These revenues are not split out separately, but included in fitness revenue. We also have a revenue stream which is not related to the yield per member, listed as other revenue. Amongst the add-ons, sports water continues to perform well. Sports water subscriptions were available in all our clubs in all countries. The number of members that have sports water subscription on top of their memberships more than doubled from less than 100,000 a year ago to almost 250,000, being 18% of our membership base. The same trend, although from a smaller base, we have seen with the BaseFit Pro app subscriptions. A year ago, less than 1% of our base had this subscription as an addition to their membership. Now more than 3% of our membership base has this subscription. Our initiatives to roll out and sell these subscriptions are still recent, so it's difficult to say what a stable level would be as a percentage of our membership base, but the developments are clearly positive. Other revenue is still relatively small, but increased strongly by 34% to 3.3 million. The demand for personal trainers is developing well, and we continue to introduce our personal trainer program in our clubs in all countries. A great benefit of our approach is that with personal trainers active in our clubs, we have entrepreneurs on the floor with whom we share the same interest, and we will help us to secure satisfied customers. At this moment, we offer our members professional personal trainers in 263 clubs compared to 211 a year ago. We continue the rollout of new vending machines in the countries. Benelux and Spain have been completed and work well. We are piloting in France and expect to start the rollout later this year. we are continuously looking for ways to further improve and broaden the member experience. We have been further developing the Social Corner concept, which now includes fresh coffee. We aim to offer members a place to connect with each other and relax. On the next slide, we see the cash flow and the capex. The cash flow pre-expansion capex, defined as adjusted EBITDA minus maintenance capex, was 32.9 million, an increase of 10% compared to 29.9 million in the first half of 2016. Maintenance capex in the first half of 2017 was 12.6 million. This translates into an average of 28,000 maintenance capex per club, which is in line with the full year guidance of around 55,000 per club. Expansion capex in the period was 59.6 million. Of the 59.6 million, 5.3 million relates to the expansion of existing clubs, expenses for clubs that have not opened yet, and clubs we acquired. During the period, we acquired two clubs. So, of the 51 open clubs, we built 49 clubs ourselves, on which we spent on average 1.1 million per club. Other capex was 1.9 million in the first half of 2016. Other capex mainly consisted of investments in innovations and software development. Now we go to the next slide, and that's net working capital and the net debt. Working capital at the end of period was 75.4 million negative compared to 82.1 million negative at the end of 2016. As a percentage of revenue, working capital was minus 26% compared to minus 32% at the end of 16. This is in line with the guidance we provided in March. In the second half of the year, we expect working capital as a percentage of revenue to be around minus 25%. At the end of the period, our net debt was 248 million compared to 206 million at the end of 2016. The increase is, of course, the result of a large number of club openings in line with the announced accelerated execution of our growth strategy. The leverage ratio at the end of the period was 2.8, which is within the bandwidth of 2.5 to 3 times adjusted EBITDA, as we communicated in March. With the current leverage ratio, the expected deleveraging, and the available bank facilities, we have ample financial flexibility to execute our growth strategy at the current high pace. For my last part of the presentation, I would like to give you a brief update on the upcoming accounting changes, IFRS 15 and IFRS 16. IFRS 15 is a new revenue standard which replaces the existing IFRS revenue guidance. The qualitative and quantitative impact analysis is ongoing. IFRS 15 will mainly have an impact on how Basic-Fit recognizes joining fees and discounts. Joining fees will no longer be recognized as revenue in the month that a new membership contract is signed, but instead be spread out. For the annual subscriptions, Smart and Easy, joining fees will be spread out over the contract period. For the monthly subscription, Flex, the joining fee will be spread out over the average length of stay. Discounts will be recognized the same way, in line with these periods for the three contract types. We are currently in the process of calculating the impact of IFRS 15 on the results for 2017, and we'll disclose the impact of IFRS 15 with our full year 2017 results. At this time, we cannot yet provide an accurate financial estimate. However, we believe that the impact will be limited. Then IFRS 16, which is the new leases standard, and it requires us to bring leases on balance sheet from 2019 onwards. As we are leasing the location of all our clubs, we expect that the implementation of IFRS 16 will have material impact on our balance sheet and income statement. Due to a frozen gap clause in our bank facilities, this will not impact the covenant calculation. To be able to report in compliance with IFRS 16, we have been collecting data and started to process to select an IT solution that can register all relevant data and can make all required calculations related to IFRS 16. We will report on the impact of IFRS 16 as soon as possible, but not later than early 2019. In our notes to the financial statements, further details can be found about the new IFRS standard. I would now like to hand back to René for the final outlook slide.
Thank you, Hans. With the 47 clubs added to the network in the first half of the year, 30 clubs under construction and 41 clubs for which we have signed contracts, we are well on the way to open the 100 clubs in 2017 as guided in March. We expect that in the second half of the year, the club openings will be more evenly spread, and with the ramp-up of members, the growth of adjusted EBITDA will accelerate in the second half. Looking further ahead, we continue to fill the pipeline for club openings in 2018 and beyond, and now have over 150 locations that we are researching and that are already in negotiation phase. Of course, we rigidly follow a well-defined expansion process to secure the high quality of our network and to achieve the targeted return on invested capital on the mature clubs of at least 30%. This concludes the presentation. Operator, please open the lines for questions.
Thank you, René. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or the asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question. It comes from Frank Klassen from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Frank Klassen, Degroof Petercam. Two questions. First of all, can you say something on the length of stay, the average length of stay? Did that change over the last couple of months? And maybe also, is it over the different countries? And then secondly, on Spain, I noticed that you opened up only a few clubs. Can you elaborate on your strategy going forward for Spain?
The length of stay is similar that what we said the last quarter or 6 months ago. It is over 20 months. There is a small change in the more mature countries. There it is a little bit longer. Then the immature countries, it's a little bit shorter. But on average, it's still the same. Over 20 months is the average length of stay. About Spain, we've been closing. Some of the clubs that we close are in Spain. So we did open some clubs, but in 2016 and 17, it will be less than 10. We are able to open 100 clubs, and we prefer to really focus on France instead of opening, 20 clubs in every country. We try to grow as quickly as possible to the 300 clubs in France. First of all, their break-even is sooner. Second, we see that the mature clubs, the average members are around 3,800 instead of 3,300 in the other countries. Once we hit the 300 clubs in France, we can also start with national marketing, so TV, radio, and billboards. So then the marketing cost will be more easy and more cheap. So instead of having 150 clubs in Spain and 150 clubs in France, we prefer to have 300 clubs in France before we start focusing on Spain.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Jamie Rollo from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. I've got a few questions, please. The first, on the 100 openings this year, and the statement says onwards, I think you said in your comment, was it just next year or is it over the next few years? If you could please give us a feeling for that run rate and when that number steps down. Secondly, could you give us a feeling for what the mature club margins did year on year? I think last year they were up 130 basis points to around 370 million, 370,000. So some feeling for the annualized progression in the first half. And finally, On France, your EBITDA margins rose 1% to 19%. It would be quite helpful, though, to get the club-level margins and how that changed and how those compare to the Benelux clubs, please. Thank you.
Okay, to start with the 100 club openings. So our plan is to have a net growth of around 100 clubs this year and the coming years. So that means also 2018 and 2019. So our plan is to grow the coming years with around 100 clubs.
And what your question, Jamie, about the EBITDA margin on the mature clubs? Well, we saw in this period that the memberships on the mature clubs grew with 0.7%, and the EBITDA margin is stable on the mature clubs. And if you want detailed information on the EBITDA margin on the French clubs, it's not what we disclose at this moment.
Cool. Thanks for that. Can I just ask one more? What's the plan for Paris?
Well, Paris is something that we're testing. So we have opened in the neighborhood of the city center two clubs. They're doing very well. So we're going to open pretty soon two clubs right in the center. So we're testing. We're not focusing on Paris. We are focusing on the area around it. But at least we try a few clubs around and in the center to see what happens. And the first two clubs that we opened just outside the center are doing very well. So it will not be our focus for this year. Yeah, it will not be our focus for this year, but because all the contracts that we have already negotiated are outside of Paris, but we decided to focus already a little bit on Paris to test it. And as I said, the first two clubs are doing well.
And that's the same, obviously, national pricing.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Robert Vos from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon. I have a few questions. The CapEx adds up to 74 million from your press release comments, but in the cash flow statement, it's around 85. Can you remind me what the 10 million difference relates to? That's the first question. You mentioned that you expect to benefit from operating leverage in the second half of this year. In the first half, you reported a modest drop in EBITDA or in adjusted EBITDA profitability. Should we conclude that you expect higher EBITDA margin in the second half of 2017? And then the third question, overhead expenses, I think they came in a bit higher than consensus. What is your view on these expenses for the second half? Related to that, can you also update us on your view about the increase in marketing expenses for the year? I think you said earlier plus 55%. Does that still apply? Can you update us? And is it fair to assume that as from 2018, marketing expenses will increase more in line with the increase in revenues? Thank you.
Yeah, we'll start with the CapEx, Robert. If you look at the cash flow statement, that's part of the half-year figures. That's IFRS base. The difference is the CapEx creditors. If you look at the cash flow statement that's compiled according to IFRS regulations, you can only put in the in your cash flow statement, really paid creditors, the paid capex. So the difference is the difference between the capex creditors at the beginning of the year and the end of the year. And what we report as capex is our obligation on that level. So the difference is the capex creditors. But we should we'll go offline and give you the breakdown of this of that difference, if you want.
Sure.
But that's the difference in the cash flow statement with the CapEx. The CapEx that we report on is really the CapEx. We said we will have operating leverage, as we explained on the overhead expenses. We started investing in our international overhead in 2016. Those costs were not in the first half year of 2016. Started in 2016. They're now fully in the first half year of 2017. So we expect those overhead costs to be stable in the second half year. So operating leverage will kick in the second half of 2017. Marketing?
Overhead?
Yeah, the overhead will in the second half of 2017 will be stable. It won't be that increase in overhead cost as you see now in the first half of 2016. Compared to the first half of 2017.
And the marketing cost will for this year be at the low end of what we said in the beginning of 2017. So it will be in the low end around 13 and 14 million. I think if you look at the coming years, the marketing cost will increase. But once we are able to do the national marketing in France, it will, as a percentage, be lower again. So the marketing for this year will be around 14 million.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Boris Bildenitsky from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you so much for taking my question. A couple of questions for me. Going back to the increase in overhead costs, and you mentioned in the original press release this morning that some of it was due to facilitation of further growth. So I was just wondering, how long do you guys think that the current level would be sufficient for you, and what do you guys do exactly there? That's the first question. And second question, you've been in France a bit of time already. Are you seeing different turnover of members than in Benelux? Do new members visit clubs less, or is it similar behavior to some of your older clubs? Thank you.
Well, to come back to the overhead, what you said for future growth, if to give you an example, part of that overhead is the customer care department. So getting new clubs in, we do the customer care, so the call center for all the countries here in head office in Hoofddorp. To have more clubs, more members, means that we have to really invest in that customer care and the call center. So getting more clubs in will obviously also mean that we still have to invest in that department. But also on IT, on legal, we invested a lot in new people to get all that growth facilitated, get all the legal contracts in. So that team is ready, is fully equipped, so we can handle the growth as we expect to see. There won't be any investments on that level.
And on France, you see pretty similar trends. France, of course, is growing in faster, but that's because of the low penetration. In France, it is between 7 and 8% of the French population is a member of a gym. In the Netherlands, it's 16%, so it's twice as high. So what we see is when we open a club in France, the joiners, around 50% at this moment, has never been in a gym before. So we attract a lot of new people to the gym floor, so that is very good. What is happening at this moment when we open clubs, that the competition is trying to lock in their current customers. So when we start advertising that we will open soon, they go with a special promotion, a lot of competitors go with special promotion to sign in, to lock in their customers for a 12-year or 24 or 12-month or 24 months membership. So that's what we see. But overall, as you saw on the presentation, the French clubs are growing in faster than what we've seen in the Benelux, with a higher percentage of members never been in a gym before.
Right. So with such a high percentage of people that have never been to a gym before, obviously the risk is that these individuals will quit a lot faster as well. As we all know, it's very difficult to go to a gym even after a several-week break, let alone having never gone in the past. Are you guys worried that the 3,800 figure that you're mentioning for France will come down as these first-time members move to other gyms or just decide to cancel their subscription altogether?
Well, what you see is that the customers can choose between a flexible or a contract for 12 months. A lot of people do choose the flexible membership, so that gives them the opportunity to quit after 1 or 2 months. We see that the length of stay in France is a little bit shorter, but not a lot. It's really too early to tell. But what we see is that the mature clubs, around a dozen mature clubs that we have in France, are above this 3,800, and what we see is that every club that we open attracts just a lot of members without really a known brand name. Like in the Netherlands and Benelux, more than say 75% of the population know Basic Fit. Of course, in France, nobody knows us, so we're just doing the marketing by social media and local billboards. So it's not a big brand yet, so that has to be built. The percentage of people doing fitness is 8%, so even when people will stop earlier, we think we can easily attract new members again. And I think in time, the people that were locked in for 12 or 24 months, the proposal we have is of course, a lower price. The membership is the price slower, it's for the whole family, it's the longer opening hours, and it's a bigger club with more stuff in. So I think in time we will also get that group. So no, I'm not worried about that we will not reach the 3,800. The signs are very good there.
Very clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Hans Beggert from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Coming back on the competitive environment, especially looking at France, now you are, let's say, there for a few years now active. How, let's say, do you see your competitors react besides, let's say, doing promotions? Are you seeing also that other competitors are speeding up their rollout? Could you a little bit elaborate on that, and will it give that any, let's say, limitations for maybe entering some regions for you? Secondly, you talked about still some closures in the pipeline. Could you a little bit maybe elaborate on for which countries or which country that is? And lastly, on a little bit of guidance on the CAPEX for the second half, you already indicated that in the P&L for the cash flow, of course, there's a difference in timing in between payment and when you, let's say, allocate the capital, the CAPEX. But with, let's say, a lot of the CAPEX in principle or the openings geared more towards the end of the first half, should we again expect a higher level or comparable to the first half, or should that come down a little bit, the real outflow for the CAPEX in the second half?
Well, maybe to start with the comparers in France, what we see is our biggest comparers are the franchise organizations, so Keep Cool or Laurence Bleu. Their average gym size is between 500 and 600 square meters. They're still rolling out. So they're still rolling out clubs. We also see already some closure of their franchisees. So it is not really a big trend that it's going faster or slower. We see they're still opening clubs, and we see that they're closing clubs. So they're still around 300 clubs. But what we do see is that when we open a club close by to them, they are really struggling, which is in a way logical because, again, the price we charge is cheaper. We have the family pass, and it's the club is three times as big. So more equipment in, etc. You don't have to wait for any pieces. So they haven't stopped rolling out. But now there's not a big competitor like McFit or the Gym or Pure Gym or Planet Fitness, anything like that, joining the French market. So for that, we haven't seen any big European or American low-cost operators focusing on France. And if they will start focusing on France, there is room enough. Again, the percentage of people doing fitness in France is extremely low. So we think we can do over 1,000 clubs in France. So our focus, for us, we want to grow to in France with 500-600 clubs, so there's still enough room for our colleagues.
Yeah, going to Hans, your question about the outflow of CapEx in the second half year in the cash flow. What we saw is that we opened a lot of clubs in December 2016. That means that we have an outflow of CapEx creditors in our cash flow in the first half year. Of course, that's in the way we see it, that part of the working capital, so it's a part of the outflow of working capital. Those CapEx creditors are in the way we report it, part of the working capital. So it will minimize that impact. We see that we open a lot of clubs in May and June, but the outflow of that CapEx creditors will be more limited, and the openings in the second half will be more evenly spread throughout that half year.
I think it's logical to then to assume that the sequential outflow for CapEx in the second half will be somewhat slightly lower than what we've seen in the first half.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's logical.
And my question on closures?
Well, closures, I think it will be around for this year. We expect to do, I think, one more club. Close. I think for the future there's still a few clubs to go, but not a whole lot. But depends when the lease contract finishes. Then we will. Then we are able to stop those clubs. But that's a maximum, say, a handful of clubs that we still want to close in the future.
And maybe one follow-up with respect to France on your strategy to roll out. Of course, you're covering now a few regions. Are you first focusing on really further densing that regions, or are you, let's say, already planning to further expand into the region to grab, let's say, as much as land in France and as much as region as soon as possible before any competitor could step in?
Well, we focus on the cluster strategy. So if we see a city of 150,000 inhabitants, we prefer to do two or three clubs at the same time. So that hasn't changed. So we are doing both. So we are trying to fill in the areas where we are to really lock it down. But we're also opening new clubs in new regions. So that's why I would say 80% of our club openings this year will be in France, and also the coming years we expect to do that.
And we already started opening clubs in big cities like Lyon and Marseille, Toulouse.
Yep.
All those cities are entered now.
Yep. I follow your website in France, so I can see what's happening there.
Okay.
Very good. Very impressive, huh?
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Sander van Oort from Kempen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Sander van Oort, Kempen. A few questions, if I may. First of all, I was wondering whether the accelerated rollout, club rollout, also causes you to have higher discounts from your suppliers for the equipment. Second question, I was wondering, the closure of the 4 clubs in the first half, to what extent did this result in cash proceeds? Because I see in the cash flow statement there's only €200,000 recorded on the cash proceeds. So I was wondering, is it just closed without any cash impact, or will the proceeds still be received at a later stage? And thirdly, I saw on your website for the individual countries that there's today seems to be a bit of a longer promotional period with, in Belgium and France, free subscription until November, which is almost 3 months, which I think is a bit of a step up versus previous periods where it was mostly 1 month for free and free entry without entry costs. So maybe you can also elaborate a bit on the promotional activity that's currently on the websites for the individual countries. Thank you.
Yes, so what we... let's start with the accelerating rollout. Yes, we did get extra discounts from suppliers, but not because we added 20 more clubs. When we renegotiated the moment we paid the bill, the guaranteed package, we made a new contract, and with that contract we had better prices than before. So yes, not the 20 extra clubs, but the accelerated rollout helped us to get better prices. That's a fact. The other question is about the 3 months. What we did before is, so we have a few important periods. So the important period is coming up again now when people come back from holiday. So our marketing campaigns on TV will start August 20 in the Netherlands, Belgium, etc. And what we do typically is give away 2 months and the joining fee for free. That's what we've been doing the last, say, few years. What we're doing now is giving 3 months away, and they have to pay the joining fee. Of course, the joining fee is the same amount as a month, so it's exactly the same promotion that what we did a year ago. Then we did no joining fee and 2 months away. Now we have them pay the joining fee, and then they have 3 months away. So what we do in a typical holiday month as August, we've done that before as well, then we maybe pull the promotion. We start with the promotion 1 or 2 weeks earlier, but only on the website. So not on really with marketing money in, because we're not investing any marketing money at this moment in France, but because it's a slow period because of the weather, although the weather is not great right now, but we started the promotion 1 or 2 weeks earlier. So it's a similar promotion.
And about the foreclosures, if you look at the foreclosures, one is a temporary closing because we have some construction work to be done by the landlord. We're waiting for that, so it's a temporary closing in France. The two closures in Spain, we just finalized the lease contract. We didn't prolong that lease contract. We transferred all the equipment that was in the club to other clubs. And so there are no cash proceeds or cash costs of these closings. And the third closure is in Belgium, and that's the same story. So it was the end of the lease contract. We took the equipment and put that in other clubs, and there were no cash proceeds or costs of these closures.
Okay, thank you.
That's why you don't see cash flow. Yep.
Yeah, clear. Clear. Thank you.
Again, as a final reminder, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Lukas Dipkovic from Sigma Investments. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. I've got two questions. First of all, add-on revenues. You have elaborated that this is strongly growing, but still a small proportion of your overall revenues. What proportion of overall revenues would you expect add-on revenues to be in the midterm as more clubs mature? And the second question is on this IFRS 16. Am I right to assume, because you've said this will have a material impact on P&L and balance sheet, am I right to assume that there will be hardly any impact on cash flows? Thank you.
Well, to start with the add-on revenue, we cannot give you an exact number, but we are convinced it will go up. So the number will go up, but it will always be a small percentage of our turnover. But the add-on for sure will grow. And if you see the amount of clubs where, we, for instance, we have personal training now, so we can in time double that. So you could say we should be able in time to double that amount, but we don't have a specific target for this year or next year.
Thanks.
And to come back to the IFRS 16, you're absolutely right. There will be no cash effect on implementation on IFRS 16. It's just putting all the lease discounted value of all the lease contracts on the balance sheet, and all the rent will be out of the P&L. But there will be no cash effect on that level.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions from the queue. We have reached the end of today's conference call. I'd now like to hand over to Richard Picard for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody on the call. Thank you very much for dialing in. If you have any remaining questions at a later time, please give me a call, and I'm happy to answer them. Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That will conclude.